The Prophecy of Habakkuk by Mary M. Bodie. To the chief singer, Christ, on my stringed instruments. The Prophecy of Habakkuk. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. Habakkuk was contemporary with Jeremiah. He prophesied a few years previous to the Babylonish invasion of Judah. Habakkuk's name means an embracer, one who presses another to his heart. This is truly most characteristic of the prophet, for as we read these three short chapters describing his deep exercise of soul, he truly appears as one who embraces the Lord as well as the Lord's people. He stands here as the type of the faithful Jewish remnant of the last days, who will thus struggle in faith and hope and love in the days of apostasy and impending judgments. They will actually see fulfilled before their eyes what the dear faithful prophet Habakkuk only saw in vision, the coming of Jehovah in power and great glory. At the same time, there is much to be learned from this prophet by all who love the Lord's appearing, though we will not be here at the time of the fulfillment of this vision. For when it comes to pass, we will be with the Lord. In fact, we, the church, the body of Christ, will be a part of the Holy One that Habakkuk views as coming from Mount Paran, whose glory covered the heavens. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 3. Divisions in the book of Habakkuk. The book may be readily divided into three parts as follows. Habakkuk's questions, Jehovah's answer. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Habakkuk's testimony, Jehovah's answer. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12 through chapter 2, verse 20. Habakkuk's vision, Habakkuk chapter 3. The prophecy begins in distress and ends in triumph. This is always the case when we come to Jehovah with our perplexities and troubles and question him concerning the matter. We will find that there is always a cause for the trouble and a way out of it. Part 1, Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Habakkuk's questions. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Habakkuk has a burden on account of the condition of the Lord's people. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 are his questions, his earnest expostulation to Jehovah, the how long and why of the prophet's call for an answer. He must hear from God. He cannot understand Jehovah's silence in view of the sins of Israel, for he lived in the midst of their great wickedness. The first three verses unfold the sad picture of the condition of the house of Judah, the professing people of God. Violence and iniquity abound on every side, contention and strife and oppression among the people, the law slacked, the wicked compassing the righteous and justice perverted. Habakkuk beholds all this, and his soul is stirred within him. But, as the man of faith that he is, he takes his refuge in the Lord. He prays, but his prayer is more in the form of a complaint. O Lord, how long shall I cry? He has his questions of how and why, as well as his complaint that Jehovah does not save. All this is the foreshadowing of the coming time when violence will be ruling in the earth, and the faithful of that day will cry, as the prophet did, to Jehovah for deliverance. Then, too, the complaint will arise. How long, Jehovah, how long? Why dost thou not save? That is, they will call for an earthly deliverance. The Psalms depict these same exercises of the remnant as well as the outshining of Jehovah to their help, as we read in Habakkuk 3 of this prophecy. Jehovah's answer. The complaint of the prophet is answered by the Lord. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Habakkuk 1, verses 5 through 11. Verse 5 is very suggestive. It anticipates the scattering of the nation. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. Acts 13, verse 41. Paul gives a striking application of this to the redemptive work of Christ. He quotes it to Jews of the dispersion in the synagogue at Antioch, but it has a larger reference to the fuller dispersion at the end. At that appointed time, the Lord tells the prophet, punishment will come upon his people for their disobedience. The Chaldean army and invasion is described. They enter the land of Palestine and possess the dwelling places of Judah. The mighty army is presented as the coming of a tempest. They shall sup up as the east wind. Habakkuk 1 verse 9. Their arrogance cannot be checked. There is no stopping of their advance. They do as they please, as Habakkuk 1 verse 11 indicates. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. That is, it appears as though the Chaldeans were not intending to invade Palestine, but their mind changes and they pass into the glorious land of Jehovah. They impute this marvelous victory to their God. They are assured such power is supernatural. So it is. For that last invasion of Israel's land by the Gentile world powers will be truly devilish. Their God will be their strength. For Satan will energize and empower their emperor, the man of sin, the Antichrist. We find a description of this man of sin, not now of the army, and the woes pronounced against him in Habakkuk 2, beginning with verse 4, and the first clause, Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. The latter clause thrown in here, as it were, to comfort the believing ones of those days who will have no apparent might nor power. And continuing down and including verse 12, Woe to him that buildeth a town by blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. Part 2, Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 12 through chapter 2 verse 20. This division of the book contains the prophet's testimony to Jehovah, his waiting attitude, and Jehovah's answer to him. This would make three sections, as it were, to the second part of the prophecy. The prophet's testimony to Jehovah. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Habakkuk 1 verse 12. The Lord has answered Habakkuk's perplexity as to his apparent laxity toward Israel's sin, and the prophet utters his wonderful panegyric of Jehovah. Although the Lord has only told him of judgment, the prophet is comforted. His words are full of faith. In full assurance, in view of the impending invasion of his land, he could say, We shall not die. He knew that Jehovah, the Holy One, the Rock, is with his people in every time of trial, therefore they shall not perish. His faith rested upon the promises of God, yet he knew that judgment and chastening were to be theirs for a time. Yet he justifies God's attitude toward Israel and his chastening hand for their rebellion toward him. In the pleadings which follow, his faith beholds the wicked invaders, the Chaldeans, who are, after all, more wicked than Judah, checked and punished. Their conquest of the nation is described as catching them like fish in a net, and then sacrificing them to their net, their false god. Habakkuk 1, verses 15 and 16, transliteration. The prophet ends this section with a question. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nation? Habakkuk 1, verse 17. That is, will the enemy never be satisfied? Will there never be an end? But faith sees the answer even as the next portion discloses. The prophet's waiting attitude. In the second section of the second part, we see the prophet in a waiting attitude. In answer to his first question, Jehovah has informed him of coming trouble upon his people. Now he waits for a further unfolding of the divine purposes in answer to his further question. He knows the Lord will not turn him away. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Habakkuk 2 verse 1. With all the burden upon him, the troubles of his spirit, the difficulties and coming judgments, the prophet decides to wait calmly for the answer Jehovah will give to him. He even infers that he may be reproved for his apparent bold attitude toward the Lord, but never, never does the Lord reprove Habakkuk for his faith that challenges the Lord to answer. From the prophet's attitude here, we may learn precious lessons of confidence in the Lord in the midst of trouble, and earnestness in addressing him, and patience in waiting for him.